The year was 2023. I was driving down the loop just after lunch, and a friend of mine called me and said, "Hey, I need you to cancel all your plans coming up this week. I got something for you," which is a great way to start a conversation. He said, "Hey, I got tickets for game 2 of the World Series." Game 2 of the World. I realize we'll be watching everyone else play next month. It's okay. Game 2 of the World Series. And you're going to be with us. And for a baseball fan, that's a dream. I'd already been to one World Series game, Rangers and the Giants. Phenomenal. We lost, but it was still phenomenal. But you're going to go to game 2. So I didn't really know a lot about it, but he goes, "And we got a suite." Oh, wow. So we're pulling into the stadium. We're driving into the ballpark. And I didn't know you could actually go into this parking lot. But this is right up against the stadium. And our parking spot was the very first spot. This is Caleb and I standing right outside of his truck. And that's the stadium. Like, our walk was like 15 feet. So we got there early, went to batting practice and everything, and then we got to experience life in a suite, and it was phenomenal. My record at World Series games is now 0-2, so if the Rangers go back, I still want to go, so still invite me. But we got to go, Caleb and I, one of his little buddy's friend's dad was like, "Hey, y'all are going to go with us," and so we had just an incredible time. And the thing about it was, this invitation was something I did not expect. I had no idea. I wanted to go to a game, but started looking at tickets, and, you know, Ranger tickets from the World Series are crazy, crazy expensive. And so he invited me, and we got to go, and, man, Caleb and I had the best time, right? We still remember that. All-you-could-eat buffet inside. I took the picture of me eating the bluebell out. Someone captured. But God's story is a long story of invitation. God inviting humanity into his story. And not that the world revolves around us, but that some way God decides, "I can still use you to be a part of this story." And so many times it comes in unexpected ways, at times we are completely caught off guard by and feel incapable of being able to answer that call. Right? Have you ever been in one of those situations where you know and you feel that God is calling you to something, to do something, and yet at the same time you feel so incredibly unqualified. Like, this is not for me. This has to be someone else. And yet God invites us. And in a sense, the calling and the invitation is extraordinary, almost impossible. But at the same time, so often it is just very ordinary. Because what he invites us into is to be a part of this world that brings his grace and his presence into the world. And so we're going to start this series in Luke chapter 1. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. So this invitation begins with God pronouncing something over her. Her first words that she receives from this angel are not, "Hey, I have something for you to do." But the story begins with grace. You who are highly favored. And the essence of it is you have been graced. The word grace is charis. It means grace or favor. And it's simply this idea that you have been given something that you don't deserve. And what I love about the telling of the story is that when she hears this, she is troubled by it. And you think, well, that kind of sounds weird. Why in the world would someone say, you have been graced, you have favor, you have God's favor? Why would you be troubled by that? But I think you have to understand the context in this setting at this time. Because grace inferred that you were now indebted to someone. You owed someone. Because it was typically given by someone who was in a higher position. And so you have done something to earn their favor, or they have given their favor, and what they expect in return is that you repay that debt. Whether it was something you owe, or maybe just loyalty to them. But it begins not with what she's done, but simply who she is. She's a child of God. And God says, now my grace is upon you. My grace is upon you. She's done nothing up until this point of the story. It's just simply that God gives her grace. And what's beautiful about the picture of grace that we receive in this story is now it's not that she's indebted. God's grace doesn't say, now you owe me. God's grace just simply says, now go and live as a child of grace. I'm giving you my grace just simply because you are my child. It is freely given with no strings attached. And grace isn't this reward for what she's done. Grace is simply the starting point of this story. Verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked. Since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. And I love the question that she asks. How can this be since I am still a virgin? Now, understand that most scholars believe that Mary is probably somewhere between 13 and 16 years old. Maybe as old as 18. But she is practically a child. And God comes to her and says, now you are favored. And you are going to give birth. And her response is simply, I had seventh grade biology. I know this doesn't work. How can this be? And we can read that as doubt, but I think I want to read it more as just honesty. I don't understand. I don't comprehend how this is possible. And the angel's answer, Gabriel's answer, is beautiful. It's not that you're going to do something to make this happen. God is going to do it for you. God is going to do it within you. And he says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is tabernacle language. This word overshadow, it is tabernacle language. It's what we just read from Exodus. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's spirit was so thick, his presence was so noticeable that everyone was aware of it. Right, and went on to talk about how if God's presence moved, they moved. And if it stayed, they stayed. That's what's going to happen to Mary. God's spirit is going to overshadow you. It's going to cover you. And in some ways, I think, it's going to protect you. It's going to lead you. It's going to be the reason. Mary, this is not because of what you have done. You haven't earned this grace. You haven't earned this favor. I am simply giving it to you. And now you get to answer the call. And I think that's what's so amazing about this story. Is in essence, Mary doesn't have a choice to say no. This is going to happen. And now you get to choose how you will respond to it. This is a blessing. And it's not just a blessing for you, but it is a blessing for this world. And so often I find that at times God makes it almost impossible for us to say no. Sometimes we go kicking and screaming. Sometimes we don't want to do it. But in the end, most of the time we don't have a choice. God will get you to where he wants you to go. And in our searchers class last week, we were actually talking about this. How do we figure out what God's plan and purpose is in our life? Because so many times I'll hear people talk, well, I think God wants me to go to El Salvador and feed starving babies. And my question to those people is always, that's great, but why do you assume that? Why do you think that? Because I don't know that God is so concerned with where we are as much as he is with our faithfulness where we are. And if God wants you to go to El Salvador, I promise you he will get you there. But what his greater concern is how faithful you are right now in his presence where you are. God is calling us, he's calling you, he's calling me to be faithful to him regardless of where we are. Regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our surroundings, but to follow him. Even when it doesn't make sense, when we don't understand, like Mary, how can this be? The Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and the Most High will overshadow you, and you will conceive. You will give birth to a child. Most of the time, it doesn't make sense in our mind. Because for most of us, we have our life planned out. We know what's going to happen tomorrow. We write it down. We schedule it. We make appointments. Most of us know, in essence, what's going to happen next month. Maybe even next year, we have things planned out. But let me remind you of the words from the prophet Isaiah. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. our plans sometimes don't matter as much as we think they do. Because God will pull us, He will push us, He will move us in different directions for His purpose. But I think the essence of this story, what settles on Mary, is this calling. It's that God's Spirit will dwell in you, and you will be the vessel through which His presence comes into this world. It's a pretty powerful calling. But that's not just Mary's calling. That's your calling. That's my calling. God's Spirit will dwell in you, and you will be the vessel through which His presence comes into this world. Every single day, we have that opportunity to bring God's presence into this world. And most days, it's pretty ordinary opportunities. But what I've found is God uses those ordinary, everyday opportunities to do extraordinary things through us, if we're simply willing to surrender. Because I think the beauty of this economy, of God's kingdom economy, is that surrender trumps strength every day. I don't think He goes out and calls Mary because of her strength and because of what she is capable of. I think He calls her and He invites her just simply because she's willing, no matter what, to follow. She's willing, no matter what, to surrender to the kingdom. And I think that's our question. Are we willing to surrender? Or are we willing to let go of our ways for God's plans? Because He simply says, or it simply records Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled to me." And then the angel left her. In other words, I'm in. Let's do it. Whatever you need, wherever you call me, wherever I need to go, I'm in. I will do it. And I think our calling's really, really similar. There are these unexpected invitations every single day. These unexpected invitations that at times seem impossible, but God gives us His Spirit and He gives us His grace, and that is always enough for what He has called us to. There's a old Yiddish proverb that says, "Man plans and God laughs." Man plans and God's laughs. How many times have you told someone, "Well, I will never do this. I will never do that. I will never move there. I will never work for them." And yet how often does God just kind of laugh and say, "That's okay. We will get there." Because all of us have our dreams. We have our assumptions of what happens next. My guess is Mary had her maybe dreams of what life would be like, of what would happen. But yet God had other plans. And He invites her to be a part of the story, right? In some small, and in some ways, fairly insignificant. I mean, people have babies every single day. It's very ordinary. But yet, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, the result of it is absolutely extraordinary. And here's the thing. You will never know the impact of your faithfulness in the moment. You may never see the impact of your faithfulness. It might be years, and it might be something you never get to see fully. Because it's that child that you've been praying and praying for that would come back to Christ. And maybe you never get to see it, but one day it finally happens. It's the person you work beside who's been hurt, who is so deep in grief that they cannot maybe forgive themselves, maybe can't forgive God, and yet still you show up every single day being the light in the darkness to them. And maybe it's years down the road. Maybe you never get to see it. But your faithfulness matters. Your faithfulness matters, not just for you. Because this story, remember, isn't about you, and it's not about me. It's about the kingdom. It's about what God is doing in this world through his people. It's not Mary's strength. It's not Mary's strength. Mary has a son because God is able. But Mary has a son for our sake because God is gracious. She has a son because God is able to do it. But she has a son for our sake because God is gracious. Because God is good. So I want to kind of finish with just a moment for you to reflect and to think. What is God inviting you into that feels too big for you right now? What is God calling you to that feels like it's too big of a leap of faith for you? Where in your life do you feel incapable? I'm not prepared for that. I'm not ready for that. I don't know how to handle that. And then third, where is God overshadowing your life? Where do you feel God's presence right now in your life? Because your calling is the same as Mary's. God's Spirit will dwell in you, and you will be the vessel through which his presence comes into this world. Every single day. But here's the beauty of the story, is that's God's plan A. You and I will bring his light and his presence into this world. And there is no plan B. It is up to us to carry God's kingdom forward. And it's not that God needs you or he needs me. If you or I walk away tomorrow, God's not saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to work this out. But the beauty of it, he still invites us to be a part, to share in his story. And so as we walk away, remember, grace leads to calling. Presence leads to courage. And surrender leads to strength. Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your grace. Father, it is enough for us. You are gracious. You are good. And Father, we are thankful for your presence in this world. Father, would you use us as lights in the darkness? Would you use us to extend your grace to this world? Would you use us even when we feel incapable and when we're struggling to surrender? Would you use us? Would you call us? Would you invite us into your story once again? We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.